Detroit Lions.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Good morning, everyone. I think I was just here about 5 hours ago.
Oh, man.
Jim Costa is off. The Gov is off. Greg Hargrave is off. The Detroit Lions were off.
Yeah.
Paul Sarah's here running the show. He is John Jansen. I am Michael Stone. And
Lomas wasn't off.
See, TJ, TJ didn't care. TJ didn't say a word.
Yeah, the home broadcast is always that one where, obviously, when everything goes right, you hear the guys in the background, I did it, yes, you know, Michigan, Alabama, Rose Bowl, yeah, you know, all those things. And then all of a sudden, hey, when things don't go well, oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Merry Christmas, John. You have a good holiday. Aside from football, we'll start with, you know.
Yeah, aside from football, it was a great day. Mm-hmm. There were, and I think there's a lot of people around going, and maybe the Lions made you look a little introspectively at your family, the kids, the wife, everyone healthy. And it was a challenging year for a lot of people. But, it was a great day with the family. Had the Albrights over.
Oh.
You know, Ethan
today.
And Kathy and Gracie. There, Lawson, who was getting ready, if you're watching the game above today, number 86 for the Northwestern Wildcats. Go Cats. Little tip to the Captain Jamie there.
But, hey, you got Costa.
Yeah,
what
I know.
I'm going to have to tell him that you're rooting against his alma mater.
Oh, 100%. Even if I would have to, well, I guess I wouldn't say I'd have to, but even without Lawson playing in the game.
Right.
If you're cheering for, if you're picking sides, cheer for number 86.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a great day outside of the hours of 4:30 to 8?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of excitement there.
No, there was a lot of football on yesterday, 3 NFL games. You had a lot of good NBA games and...
How about going into the season thinking, hey, Christmas Day, all right? And I know there was this debate, right? Football on Christmas, Lions playing on Christmas, whatever. It's okay. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
But you were thinking Commanders and Cowboys.
It's always a great rivalry. The Commanders won the NFC. They played in the NFC Championship game last year, as
correct.
We know.
Yes, and thought that was going to be a great matchup. But yeah. Both teams, neither of them go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at, oh, hey, it's division rivalry. It was 14-win teams at the end of the season last year, Minnesota and Detroit. That's going to be a great game, right?
Yeah, 14 versus 15-win teams. Yeah. Absolutely.
It was a turd.
And you had Denver, Kansas City. Now, Denver held up their end of the bargain.
Yeah.
But they barely beat... Chris Olatokun or whatever is that, Ludekin, the third-string quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs in what could be Travis Kelce's last home game.
Could have been a great football day, and it just was not.
No. All right, so we are here for you. 248-539-9797, whether it be the text or the phones, we want to be your sounding off point and where you can vent. Because there's a lot of ways to go here. First, if the Lions ruined your Christmas, then I don't think you were realistic going into this holiday. But I understand why it would.
Not realistic going into the holiday? They were playing against Max Brosner. And everyone's going, they might even wake up today and go, who's that?
Yeah.
That's the quarterback that just beat you. So optimistic going into the holiday. I think there were a lot of people that were optimistic that they could go to Minnesota and beat a fourth string, third string, whatever string you want to call him, quarterback.
Yeah, I meant optimistic because you kind of knew after what happened at Ford Field on Sunday that this is really, even if they got in, this is not a team that could get catch magic in a bottle. You kind of knew the writing was on the wall.
I think everybody kind of accepted the fact that even if they backed their way into the playoffs, that it wasn't going to be some miracle Super Bowl run. They weren't all of a sudden, hey, things are going to click, they're going to get it, and then be the team that we all dreamed they would be. I don't think anybody had that illusion or disillusion.
No, you're right. I mean, but...
But going to Minnesota to get a win? I think there were a lot of people that were saying...
Well, certainly in Vegas they did.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the line, the final line before the game?
I don't know. I think it was close to 7, I think. But I don't know. And then when, I don't know, I told somebody when I found out Decker wasn't playing that somebody I know bet on the Lions. I said, no, don't. And look, the story of the game, and we'll get into the story of the season, which still has one game left, is the fact that just like the games that they've had, they can't stop the run. They did a decent job of stopping the run, I should say, but they still got outrushed. They lost 8 games. And in the 8 games, we've updated the math from last week, they've been outrushed 1,152 yards to 555. They ain't going to win football games.
Yeah, they got outrushed.
It's going to lose 8 football games.
Look, 158 to 68.
Yeah. And 65 of the Vikings coming on the one play, the Jordan Addison, really good play call. It was a game where you had both teams with tons of injuries. I mean, Minnesota's offensive line was arguably worse than the Lions as far as
the injuries. Yeah.
Yeah, Darisaw got hurt. Yeah. Darisaw didn't play. Kelly had a concussion. He was out. And their starting right tackle was hurt, too. And that's caused, Hutch and those guys to sack Brosmer, 7 times?
7 times.
I mean, the defensive line had a nice job with pass rush. But look who they were going up against. I don't care. Statistics, whatever. We can't use injuries as excuses. So we have to give them credit when they perform, when the other team is hurt as well. But look, the story of the game is turnovers. It's that simple. 6 turnovers. Jared Goff, they had 4 fumbles, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me say that louder. Yes.
Fumble the snap that led into one. Look, I know he's playing with basically a new center, who, by the way, not that it made a difference. It could have early in the game. They got completely hosed on that call where Minnesota
jumped offsides.
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous. And, Lions at least did the right thing and punted or kicked the field goal. I forget which. It was he punted then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, was this team ready to play? I don't think so. No. They looked like I wouldn't say going through the motions.
Although they were.
But it was not a 100% effort from everybody.
Sure didn't feel like it, looked like it. Mm-hmm. It felt like the cars, the trucks, the U-Hauls were all packed at Allen Park just simply waiting for this one to be over. And then obviously the trip to Chicago. And
we've talked about, when they used to play at the Silver Dome, when they get towards the end of the season, I-75 eyes.
Yeah.
They looked like they had I-94 eyes yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's going to be lots of evaluation. There should be self-evaluation with the coaching staff, with the front office. That's you, Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell. I am not one of those who believes that there should be a coaching change
a
general manager change right now. However, I will say this. If this team is the same or worse next year, then it's time to have that conversation. Because right now, I believe their seats are warm.
This is a roster, even with the challenges at the interior of the offensive line, this is a roster that should be better than 8 or 9 wins. Now, I don't think there's anybody that believes they're going to go to Chicago and get a win. So if they ended up the season with 8-9, a losing record, this is a roster with more talent than an 8-9 team. 8-8 right now. I'll keep it at that. I'm not going
to
write the end of the story before it's written.
Yes. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. A lot of things to go with this. Did it ruin your Christmas? Was this the worst game in your mind, worst performance of the Dan Campbell era? And I'll take the first year out of it.
Yeah.
Because they got blown out by Philly in one game and somebody else. So that's different. That they're trying to set the foundation of this football team. So since the 2022 season.
Yeah. Well, they started 1-6.
Yeah.
And then since then, it's been good football.
Yeah. You know what's so depressing about this coming Sunday?
Yeah.
This is the first time, except for when there was, 10 minutes left when the Rams clinched the playoff spot before the Lions won in Green Bay.
Yeah.
This is the first time in a while that the Lions are going to be playing a meaningless football game.
Yes. And it's depressing.
Yeah.
It's depressing. It's disappointing. I mean, a lot of questions in regards to what changes have to happen. You know, we've played the blame game, and we could do that again today. Mm-hmm. Is the window closed? Has that window closed? It's just there's a lot of things that will we're willing to take all of your concerns.
Yes. All right. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. It is the Costa and Jansen show with Heather Stoney in for Costa here on 97.1.
All right, Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Doug Carson, that is not Scott Anderson. That is Jeff Rieger today. Hello, Jeffrey. How are you?
Doug, Merry Christmas, or at least after Merry Christmas. What's going on?
No, not a lot. You been good?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm not thrilled with yesterday's Lions game, but thrilled to get to spend time with family the last few days. So that's been awesome. But you know, I mean, it was what it was. It was a bitter end, and it is a team that needs a lot of maintenance. This roster needs a lot of maintenance and upgrades and TLC in this offseason because I think we just basically watched the worst case scenario play itself out, which sucks, but I don't know how else to put it.
Listen, I agree with you. I would take it a step further. It was an embarrassment. I mean, they're now your last place Detroit Lions. And if I were to tell you, Doug, that when they're sitting at 4-1 and 5-2, that J.J. McCarthy, early J.J., not even like better J.J., not even 9 J.J., and then Max Brosmer were to beat you in some pretty big games, and the Vikings sweep you, I don't think anybody would have believed it. And then yesterday, you know, Costa and Jansen do that double-digit disco. They lost by double digits. If they don't turn over the football, they probably win the football game. Doug, unfortunately, we've watched these games our whole lives, and we thought it was gone. The last couple of years were splendid, and now it's back to being more of the same.
Well, look, embarrassing or not, to me, it's just, hey, look, it's black and white. Did they succeed? No, they didn't. It was ugly, and Max Brosmer's terrible. I had an NFL coach tell me that, not with the Lions, but I know. And I'm like, yeah, well, maybe someday he'll be really good. But yeah, it was an ugly performance, label you want to put onto it. It's just the whole season. I think it was the worst case scenario playing itself out in so many ways. Absolutely sucks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we knew about the offensive line, right? And then you find out seconds before the game that Taylor Decker isn't going to play. I think we knew that Goff was going to be under pressure. And I don't know that he adjusted. Maybe he could not adjust. But I keep going back to the fact that Jared Goff, over the last 2 years, in the two biggest games of the season, this one, he wasn't very good against Pittsburgh either. And then, of course, last year against the Commanders, Jared Goff, the guy making the most money, was outdueled by Max Brosmer. As crazy as it sounds, the Lions lost to a team that had 3 net yards passing. Brosmer had a better rating than Goff did. Goff turned over the ball 5 times, 3 fumbles and 2 picks. So I think it starts there, but the offensive line was atrocious. And then, yeah, defensively they were fine, but they just kept coughing the football over. If they just turn over the ball 3 times, they're still alive. And then we get to watch tomorrow what Green Bay does. But unfortunately, you said it, the worst case scenario, it was atrocious. I can't get over how bad it was yesterday.
Well, I think it starts with the offensive line, quite frankly. At the end of the day, and it starts in the middle. I mean, Edgar Khan really, really struggled. And I get that he's a young player, but you know, I'm ready to get into the free agent market and find a veteran center. And bring somebody in here that can settle down the interior of the offensive line. A lot of problems can start with the center position, but even yesterday, multiple quarterback center exchanges were a problem. And you go, okay, well, what's new to the equation? Well, what was new is the center. Goff's the same guy. The center's different, and they couldn't block. I mean, there were jailbreak blitzes over and over again, and it was just, it was ugly. They couldn't run. They couldn't block. They couldn't pass protect. There was nothing. I mean, there was absolutely nothing. And when a game ends like that with the 6 turnovers, and they've been exceptionally good at not turning the football over, and you turn it over 8 times all year and then turn over 6 times in one game, it's not going to work very often. And You know, I think the crazy thing is, it feels like it's a team that has the makings of being exceptionally good, but they got a lot of things that need to get addressed. I'm scared that they don't need just one safety. They might need two.
Well, I don't disagree. I mean, because we don't know what's going to go on with Kirby. Brian Branch, is he the same guy? Do you even pay Brian Branch? There's so many decisions that need to be made. But when you look at the season, right, Brad Holmes, I think, obviously, didn't do enough. Like, whether he was duped or not by Frank Ragnow, he did not do enough to make sure that you are good at center, at least, because Glasgow hasn't been good all season long. And then I think you take it a step further. Dan Campbell, I think, fair to say, kind of failed miserably with higher coordinators. So obviously Anthony Lynn, his first OC, didn't work out. John Morton didn't work out. Do you keep Kelvin Shepard? I'm not quite sure that you do. Like, overall, I think this was a collective failure by so many different sides, right? Like, obviously, Holmes not good enough. Campbell wasn't good enough. The O-line was atrocious. I thought Goff the last two games was despicable. I really did. He's been great all season long. He hasn't been the problem. But the last two games, especially yesterday, I know things were falling apart around him. But Jared Goff, towards the very end, when it was those back-to-back throws for back-to-back picks, or just allowing Van Ginkle to steal the ball from him on that very last play, I thought Goff was bad too yesterday. You said it. Worst-case scenario. And I wonder where Lions fans are right now. I mean, it's so raw. It's so early. But going into this offseason, you have so much to fix. Can you fix it all in one offseason? Can you get back to the team that you were? Or have the Vikings, the Packers, and the Bears passed you?
Well, I mean, this year they certainly have. One thing that they could really use some good luck with some injuries. I mean, it feels like there's a roster there that can compete with anybody, quite frankly, that is just been decimated. And you have you hope that you expect to see guys get hurt. What the question is can you overcome as many as that they've had? Like, fixing it in the offseason, well, if Decker comes back, and now I think we need to question whether or not he will.
Who knows?
Do they start moving Penei Sewell over to left tackle, shopping for a right tackle? Are they going to, you know, which one of their young guards are they going to roll with? I mean, they know better than we do. Like, is Mahogany, Ratledge, Frazier, you know, which Owasika, which one of those guys is worth keeping and building around? Defensively, they have to find more help at the defensive tackle spot if they're not going to get playmaking out of the guys they have. I mean, Roy Lopez was probably feeling like the only guy that lived up to or exceeded an expectation at that spot. You know, there was an El Qadim Muhammad sighting yesterday, which was cool, but it, again, I go back to how much of that is just on Max Brosmer being the quarterback that he is. You know, is Anzalone got a future here? Is Malcolm Rodriguez a plug-in player? You know, there's a lot. You know, what do they do with the secondary? Is Terrion Arnold going to be a guy that they want to continue to try and invest in and build around? Do they look to replace him? Do they look, you know, what the hell is Ennis Rakestraw, the two safety? I mean, there's a ton of questions. I can't believe how many questions there are. And you're right. Can they fix it all in one offseason? I mean, given the state of the NFL, of course, there are teams that go from way worse than this to good. But it doesn't mean there's not a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of work to be done.
The thing that was the most disheartening, at least for me, for the last couple games, right? You look at a Steelers team that had a backup guard, actually a fourth-string guard and a backup left tackle, and they ran it on you for 230 yards. And then yesterday, you mentioned Brosmer a bunch of times. They're missing their center, talking about the Vikings. They're missing their left tackle as well, and they ran the ball for 100 and some yards. But obviously, it's a little misleading with the Jets sweep. I guess my point is, we Lions fans talk injuries all the time, and it sucks, right? Because Kirby's out, and Branch is out, and the offensive line is decimated. But you will go against, in back-to-back weeks, two teams with just as many injuries, and you lose woefully. And especially yesterday. I mean, yesterday, that's a Minnesota team that probably didn't want to be there. And they're banged up, and they're playing for absolutely nothing with a guy that probably should not be playing quarterback, and you can't find a way to beat him. See, to me, I watched that game yesterday, and it's the same thing we've watched. Like, I can't believe it, but then you believe it. I think the biggest thing is, and it's different for each person, Doug, and I'm curious when it happened for you. you got to realize that this wasn't the team that it was the last 2 years. And I think once you realize that, you realize they're just an average football team right now. Now, can they get better in the offseason? We'll see. Brad Holmes has done a hell of a job to get you to this point. Can he finish the deal? Dan Campbell's done a hell of a job to get you to this point. Can he finish the deal as well? Or has the beautiful window, the NFC title game, and then 15-2 in the one seed, has that closed? You know what I mean? And we'll find out. But that's a real worry moving forward.
Well, I guess when I looked at the team that was on the field yesterday, I'm not totally surprised, because on the team that they put on the field yesterday was a pretty average NFL team.
Yeah,
and with a woeful deficiency up front on the O-line. I mean, there was no run blocking to speak of, and there was no pass protection to speak of, and I don't know what you're supposed to do under those circumstances. I have one gripe with play calling, which I almost never do, so we'll get to that as the show goes on, but yeah, there's not a lot you can do when you can't win in the trenches, and they were losing woefully in the trenches. The biggest mismatch on the day was Minnesota's defensive front against the Lions' offensive line. Hate to say it, because that group has been exceptionally good, but you look up at any given moment. I mean, there was a time yesterday where they essentially had a rookie and four backups out there, and so I get against a really good defense. You know, it was a worst case scenario, and I'm not totally shocked that they couldn't. I guess I'm surprised they were that much outclassed, but you know, with the way that game played itself out and who was on the field, it's almost to a degree predictable. But
I don't think anybody predicted that.
Like I said, to a degree, I could see them losing the game against that defense with that O line. But the Brosmer thing is just unbelievable. Like, that kid he couldn't do anything, and it was, you know, a jet sweep. That jet sweep finished him off.
Doug, it got to the point where he completed a pass, and I was shocked. It got to the point where they allowed him to throw the ball, and I was shocked.
It felt like they would have been better positioned when you look back. Just take a knee three times and punt it back.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's why Drew Brees said, listen, this is going to sound stupid to Ian Eagle, or Noah Eagle, rather. He said, this is going to sound dumb. The Vikings should take the safety. Because at least there's still going to be up 4 points, which is more than a field goal. Then at least they can give themselves some pretty good field position. Because if you're going to give the Lions this great field position, you know they're probably going to score and your lead's going to go away. Like, it's gotten to that point. Your offense, talking about yours, the Vikings offense couldn't do anything. And yet they still find a way to win the game. So as much as you talk about the fact that obviously the Lions' O-line was under siege and Goff was under siege, I cannot believe, which... it's insane that Max Brosmer won that game for them.
It was a terrible football game.
I mean, I know you're big on the broadcast. The Netflix broadcast is pretty bad too, right? It felt like one long commercial for a Netflix ad. Like, hey, let's have a football game where we pay $150 million for, and all we're going to do throughout the commercial, the football game, is tell you about, I don't know, Stranger Things and You, Part 7.
Pinky Blinders.
There you go.
They had a set. They set up a set in a suite, but whatever. Hey, we'll get to your phone calls and feedback coming up. It's Carson Anderson. Rieger's in for Anderson.
Happy Friday to everybody out there. Merry belated Christmas as we get ready to take you on a therapy session here in the city of Detroit, a much-needed talk that we have to have today. Mike's off for today. But I do think we need to have an honest conversation today. And I know people don't love these types of conversations in this town, but guys, they're necessary. Missing the playoffs this season, that's a setback. You could try to dress it up whichever way you want, but it is. This was not a rebuilding year. This was not a just happy to compete type of year. This was a team that told you that directly or indirectly that it had arrived. They were there. They were elite. They were all over television. They were on Christmas Day, and they were on all of these primetime games. Expectations changed. The national respect changed, and with that comes responsibility. But you know what? There was one show that tried to tell you one thing wrong with this team. Hold on. There it is. Something was wrong with this team from the start. But I was told, don't worry about it. We got this. You know, just give them a little bit of time. Don't worry about the coordinators. We can work that out. We got Dan Campbell. We have grit. You sold expectations. You sold legitimacy. You sold contender talk. Banners, national TV games, preseason hype, Super Bowl whispers that maybe this was a team. But then when it came time to cash that check, it bounced. Now, here's the part that people don't want to hear. This is what happens when expectations show up, but your team is not ready for them. Everybody loved Dan Campbell when he was biting kneecaps and playing with the house money. But when the games actually matter, when situational football mattered, when discipline matters, suddenly the margins mattered. And then they lost those margins over and over and over again. And no, you don't get to say it was bad luck with injuries. Every team has injuries, guys. Every team does. Look up and down the NFL. Depth is a part of roster building. That's on Brad Holmes. Let's talk about the offense. Because I've heard all year how elite it is. Funny how elite offenses just don't disappear for weeks at a time. Funny how elite quarterbacks don't need perfect conditions to function. You got beat by a quarterback yesterday that had a total of 3 passing yards at the end of the game. So I don't want to hear about that. Look, Goff is fine, but when things break down, when protections slip, when the run game stalls, when the pressure ramps up, where does he go? I don't know, because it's not upward. You don't see it on the field. And look, don't get me started on the defense. You can talk about the culture until you're blue in the face, guys, but you can put your slogans on the wall. But eventually, you know, you can talk about all the grit, but you got to be able to stop a quarterback who does not even belong in the league. It got to the point yesterday that they talked about it on the game. It would have been better for the Vikings just to take a safety because they were up 6 and you would have only been down 4 points, but they don't think that you could have came back and scored a touchdown. Here's the uncomfortable truth, Detroit. Whether you want to deal with this or not. This team was a good story. It was a good rebuild, but good stories don't guarantee good endings, let alone great endings. The NFL, it doesn't wait. Windows close fast. This was a show that told you that windows don't stay open forever. Other teams will pass you. So I just want to ask you some questions today. This season, it's a disappointment. This team shrunk in the midst of expectations. All I kept hearing was, if you win 3 in a row, you couldn't win 1 in a row. My question to you, Detroit, 248-539-9797. Are you 100% sure that this current regime knows how to take the next steps to get you to where you want to go? That NFC title game was a long time ago. Matter of fact, it may seem like decades ago. Here's what Dan Campbell had to say, and no truer words were spoken. That was Dan Campbell right after losing the NFC title game in San Francisco. He kind of told you right then and there, it's not guaranteed. It's hard to get back. And as you're seeing, Lions fans, this thing, it's going in the wrong direction. Do you still trust the direction of this franchise? 248-539-9797. You were 14-6 and you lost in the NFC title game. And I think everybody in Detroit kind of figured, okay, you got your feet wet, and now it's time. We're going to take that next step. We're going to make it. We're just a player or two away. The next year you come out, you're 15-2. They double-digit discoing everybody. You have home field throughout the entire playoffs. You never have to go on the road. You don't have to play in cold Philadelphia, cold Green Bay. It doesn't matter. You're here in Detroit. Rookie comes in here. Jaden Daniels, Washington Commanders, and they beat you. This year, okay, you play, let's lock up all our core players. I think we need what we have. You got Brad Holmes telling you, yeah, we already got Aiden. We don't need to add anybody. You got Dan Campbell saying we're good. You're now sitting at 8-8. You're 1-4 in divisional games. And as of right now, you're in last place in the North. Your offense, it's called the Chicago Bears. They're getting things done. You're not. Do you still trust the direction of where this franchise is going? Because we all saw what happened yesterday. Max Brosmer beat you. Just when you thought, losing to J.J. McCarthy as he meditates under the goalpost was bad. David, I saw a quarterback that didn't belong in the NFL win a game. And really, it was the jet sweep, but I'm sitting there like, but not only he actually outplayed your quarterback, because the Lions had six turnovers. It almost got to the point where it was laughable. Like, how else are you going to turn the ball over? What else are you going to do? It was fumbles. Like, on a third down play, and you just flat out drop the ball. Granted, it's a new center. And you know what? That's on management. That's on Brad Holmes, because you shouldn't be down to your fourth-string center. Maybe you could have did better planning rather than going out and getting a bunch of toys. If you're not – here's the thing. For me, in order to trust the direction of where this franchise is going this offseason, you got to do two things. You got to improve that offensive line, and you got to improve that defensive line. I don't want to hear, we got Aiden. Why do we need to get anybody else? We trust our guys. I don't trust your guys. I don't trust your guys anymore. Here's what good teams do. They adjust on the fly. Let's go back, because everybody will talk about you were 30 minutes away, 30 minutes away from the Super Bowl. You know what's happened since that 30 minutes away from the Super Bowl? The Eagles had been to the Super Bowl the year before. They had to adjust on the fly. They do. They go back. They win the Super Bowl. The Rams had won a Super Bowl previously. They adjusted on the fly. They made the trade. They got Matthew Stafford, and then they made trades. And then they got rid of the Super Bowl MVP, Cooper Kupp. They got rid of him. They adjusted on the fly. Why? No sacred cows. We just got to get better. We don't really care about egos. Let's just get the best people. The Niners bottomed out. Guess what? They're now in contention for the number one overall seed. You know what they did? They got rid of Debo. They're about to get rid of Brandon Ayuk. The Seattle Seahawks, they get rid of DK Metcalf, and they keep it going. Here, you locked up everybody this offseason. This was supposed to be the core that's going to take you a long way. This team's going backwards from NFC title game to missing the playoffs flat out. Don't know what else to say. 248-539-9797. I ask you, you saw the game like I saw the game. Do you still trust where this team is going, the direction of this team? And if not, what needs to change to fix this, to get your trust back? Because we all saw it. We all saw it. 248-539-9797. I will get all your phone calls. I will get all your ticket texts next. 97.1.
Feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox, 248-539-9797. You can text us, and we will read text messages on the air. Mark writes in, I don't blame Jared Goff at all for yesterday's game. The line was atrocious, and he was left trying to make risky plays because nobody else was. That team did not want to play, and that coach was outcoached again. 8-9 record is atrocious. Good is the enemy of great. Next one from Jimmy. Honeymoon is over. Lions have bled fans dry with prices and priced some loyal diehards out. Have won exactly nothing. Both Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes feet start getting held to the fire next year. Michael writes in, I'm not sure why there isn't more focus on Goff and offensive deficiencies. They lost to a quarterback who threw for 50 yards while they had all their offensive tools really bad. That's from Michael at work. And next one's about Kyle Whittingham. Brad says, I fear that Kyle Whittingham is too old for the Michigan job at 66. You don't have the same fire as someone 10 years younger. Well, it depends on the individual. But in the all candidates have their arguments against. From Whittingham, it'd be about the age. People will lock onto the age, even though he's only a couple years older than Cignetti. But I think it's a great hire for a variety of reasons. We'll get into a little bit later on. 248-539-9797. Let's get back to the phones. Carl is next here on 97.1. Hi, Carl.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up,
Carl?
Not too much. You know what I remind you of? Remember the Caldwell era? Dan Campbell's only one loss away from being the coach. What's his name I just said? The coach.
Jim Caldwell.
Before that, Caldwell. And this whole team is a disaster from Holmes to Campbell, his decision-making. You said rebuild earlier. Rebuild off of what? What's there to rebuild off of? you know, it starts with the GM not putting a, you even said that isn't a good team I like on the field. Well, that goes to the GM, and then you look how he coached them. And then last year, their record on 1-point games was 8-2. Water seeks its own level. They're all back to reality, and the flash is gone. And I don't like what I'm seeing going forward at all.
Carl, do you have a plan? I mean, I don't know if you do or you don't, but do you have a plan?
Well, I'd like to see him rebuild the team, but it's not going to happen. So that's what I would do. I just think
you trade off pieces and start over. Is that what you mean by that or no? You trade off pieces and start over.
Because everyone's going offensive line. You have the second highest scoring offense in the league. How about let's rebuild the defense and hold those games? The St. Louis game or the Rams game was a penny of that. You put up low 30s and you lose by giving up 40.
You'd keep the offense and work on defense exclusively.
Absolutely. I'd lower
the defense. I wouldn't characterize that as a full scale rebuild.
I don't think it's a rebuild. I think it's a retool. I just think you got to rebuild probably the toughest two things, which is probably the offensive line. It's hard to get that right. And then the defensive line, you probably got to do more. If anything, if there's a positive out of any of this, Brad Holmes is going to have to change his philosophy. And we're going to see what kind of executive he is. Now, Doug, his point about Dan Campbell, Dan hasn't been good enough, whether it's hiring coordinators, but play calling, I don't think he expected to do the play calling, but I don't think he was good enough either. We got to stop with this. Not that you said it, but I hear a lot of people say, well, they're the number one offense, or they score the most points per game.
Look like it.
Play good defenses over the course of this year, they've lost, they've got outgained on the ground. And like, for instance, Philly, they score 9 points. Kansas City, they score 17 points. So they're simply not good enough offensively when it comes to actually going against the good defense. The other thing too about Dan, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree, that's a little shocking. I think 3 weeks in a row now he's been out coached, and I think the adjustment game has gone to the other guy and not Dan Campbell. I think that's tough. Plus you add the fourth downs, some of the time management. Nobody's saying to fire the guy, but he needs to be way better as well.
Well, hold on. I wouldn't characterize as nobody's saying.
Well, I'm not saying to fire the guy.
But look, Carl was interesting because Carl came in and, you know, said rebuild off what? And as we talked to him, he actually was in favor of a rebuild, and he was in favor of focusing exclusively on the defense. I disagree with that. I don't think you can focus exclusively on the defense. I think you got to get the offense right. It's the foundation for all the success they've had. It's not like you can only have to do one or the other. But my big free agent money would go into a veteran center.
Yeah.
And there could be some guys out there, and you know, we can get into the list of how you attack it later. But I would not, you know, Carl's, of course, entitled to his opinion. I would not do it the way Carl would. I would definitely try and sink some resources into improving that offensive line, and specifically the center spot.
Two things. First of all, is there a chance at all, or is it pie in the sky, that Frank could walk back in? He's still 30 years old. His hammy should be healed by next year. I mean, if he came back for the money, I don't know that he did. There's still more money to be made. That would solve a big problem if he could gain any of what he had before. I don't know. That could be pie in the sky. That could be unrealistic. But you're right. They need multiple pieces on the offensive line. And then that's before you get to what do you do in your secondary even? And who do you sign, Doug, too? There's some contracts due up that you got to make some decisions, like whether it's a Laporta, whether it's a Gibbs. You got to decide what to do as far
Branch.
As extended Brian Branch. What do you do with the Achilles? So I do think there's so many questions.
And in a cap world, you can't just throw money at everything because there is limitations. So you have to pick and choose. Where are we going to invest? If you're the Lions, where are we going to invest? And where are we going to try and get by with either a younger alternative or a cheaper alternative that we think can make enough plays for us? Because you got to balance these things, right? And it's a difficult thing to do. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Nick, who's next on 97.1. Hello, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys. I hope you guys had a good Christmas.
Well, thank you.
You too, Nick.
You did.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So I want to put a little bit of a positive spin on it. Not yesterday. Yesterday was a turd. But going into next season, I think it could be the final opportunity for our GM and our coach, because we have a fourth place schedule or a third place schedule. We saw what Chicago did this year, and with a nasty schedule, they were able to really just kind of breeze through into the playoffs. And a lot of that is Ben Johnson, but their schedule was cake compared to ours. But we can't do it with this current team, with this current setup as it is.
Nick, you get a better draft pick too, so there's always that. But do you want to know next year's schedule? Obviously, you play the NFC North, but as of now, the games you're locked in for, you play the Saints at home, you play the Bucks at home, you play the Pats at home, and the Jets at home. Then there's a couple of other teams still to be determined. On the road, you play the Falcons, you go to Buffalo, you go to Carolina, and you go to Miami, and then there's one more to be determined, and I know you're going overseas as well. But don't be fooled or duped by the schedule game, because it seems like an easy schedule now.
It's every year.
Things can change, and teams get better or teams get worse.
We try so hard not to do it, and every year, Kang, I think you tried to teach us that lesson like 10 years ago, that we always look at schedules and go, this one's easier, this one's hard, and they almost never work out that way. I mean, it's a dangerous game to try and predict how good or how tough or easy your schedule is going to be.
And now, so more than ever, with free agency trades, it's the turnover, coaching changes. I think it's even worse now, Doug, that you can't look at that schedule and play that schedule game.
More of your phone calls coming up. It is Carson Anderson, Jeff Rieger, and for Anderson.